I want to speak on the theme tonight, fatal flaws. Fatal flaws. You know, I'm a perfectionist. I like to see things done right.
Amen.
I go into a building, I study how it's made. I couldn't put one up this nice. I can't do it, but I know how it ought to be done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know how to lay carpet, but I know when it's laid right. And if you see a flaw on this piano, it really stands out.
Yeah.
If somebody's going to make me a table, I want all four legs to hit the floor at the same time. If you understand my speech. And there's nothing that looks out of place as much as the flaw.
Right.
And we have to be very careful in this Christian walk by observing these flaws.
Yeah.
If I have a flaw in my life, and I continue to remain ignorant of that thing, it could spell my defeat and my doom.
Yes.
It's the smart man that'll check up on himself and know right where he is.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
That was a man at one time sitting on a lonely island. I mean, the rocks were rugged and barren. And all he could hear was the screech of the wild bird and the howling of the wind as it sailed on by. He looked up at that Mediterranean sky and he saw the fleecy white clouds miles up there. And somehow everything seemed so distant and so lonely. And here was a man that tried to boil an oil. And here was a man that everybody turned out. And it looked like nobody stood by his side.
That's right.
But bless God, on that low island, he just watched the waves come up against the rocks and rise and fall and turn and foam about. And somehow it seemed like the waves deafened him. Now then he come back to his senses and he heard the birds screech waves. Something greater than the rugged rocks was around him there. He heard a voice above the sea. Bless God, stand behind. He heard somebody talking. Thank God. And it was a great I Am that stood behind him. You talk about a man seeing a sight. He didn't see him standing as a meek and lowly Nazarene. But he saw a ball of fire greater than the noonday sun. He saw, bless God, the Ancient of Days with hair as white as wool and eyes that could burn a hole right through you. He saw him standing there. And bless God, listen, you might get in your Patmos sometime. You might get in your trials sometime. You might get when things are all against you. But I don't care where you are. He said, you'll find your Patmos. Thank God you can be in the Spirit and Jesus can meet you there. But this man, though he was in his Patmos, he was in the Spirit. And if ever I want to be in the Spirit, it's when Jesus Christ comes back again on that day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I gotta get in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We have a lot of folks getting the Spirit around our altars, but sometimes they got out of the Spirit. But bless God, you better be in the Spirit when Jesus comes back again. I say in the Lord's day gets here, you better be in that Spirit. Oh, you better stay in that Spirit. I can't tell you when that day's coming. But my God, have mercy, you better give him the Spirit. You better want your Spirit to stay in the Spirit on God's day when it gets here. But you know, suddenly, he calls the churches down one by one. Do you hear me? God's looking at the churches. He's walking in the midst of the candlesticks. Oh, yeah, he's
church. He's walking through here right now. Bless God, he's got that candlestick right there. He's got the stars in his hand. The star, that's the preacher. I said the star is the preacher. Bible called him the angel of the church. You might call him a devil, but God called him an angel. Oh, yes, sir.
Glory.
And you know where the preacher is? Huh? He's in God's hand.
Glory.
Bless God. Nothing. I'm not in anybody's hand but God's hand.
Amen.
I'm not in no wife's hand.
Yeah.
I'm not in Brother Ben's hand.
No.
Bless God. I'm not in your hand.
No.
I'm not in Christ Temple's hand.
No.
I'm God's man.
Yeah.
Bless God. And if God's for me, who can be against me?
Yeah.
And if God's got me in his hand, nobody can take me out of that hand. Gets ready to let me down, nobody can put me back in that hand. If I don't walk with God, I'll stay in that hand. Yes, God, the only way I can get out of that hand is to jump out of that hand. But if I don't stay there, you'll never get me out.
Bring
that hand. God's got his hand.
Amen.
Yes, you couldn't pry God's fingers open. Get the preacher out of there. I walk down the aisles of the church sometime, and I see some old fellow that I know don't believe nothing. I know he don't believe nothing.
Yeah.
And I sit right down, and I can feel her eyes on the back of my neck.
Yeah.
Really, it's like a magnifying glass trying to set me on fire. Burn me. Yes, sir. You say, what do you do? I thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Just go on and forget folks.
Sure.
Oh, yes. Just go on and forget folks. Because maybe they'll be all right. You got to show them a little love, a little understanding. They're all right. God bless you. Just get a hold of God. Get all these things out of your mind and out of your heart. Let's walk on with God.
Yeah.
You'll be all right.
Yeah.
You'll be all right.
Yeah.
And pretty soon they'll pray through and then they'll feel just about that small. You know what I mean? They'll feel way down there about that small. And say, how in the world are we getting that fixed? I'll tell you how. I'll tell you how. You just got out of spirit. Got out of spirit. All right. And I watch folks come down to our office. And the thing I've never been able to understand is how some of the folks that got the best experiences live nothing.
Oh, wow.
I mean live nothing. I got a big Jew in my church. I wish you'd all come and see him. 270 pounds of Hebrew. Oh, brother, and he loves to run the aisles.
Yeah.
Like a tank.
I see.
He just comes down there and don't get in his way. One fella stepped out in front of him the other day and he knocked him flat. Just run right on. I don't know whether it was in the spirit or out of the spirit, but I wouldn't get his way. If I felt like dancing, I'd keep one eye open on him. Yes, I would. You can't stop that fella. Yes, sir. And I made up my mind to stay out of his way. He come to me and I pray with somebody at the altar. Oh, God, I want you to help him. I sit down and pray with this fellow. What's his difficulty? I can't get anywhere with him. He said, preacher, he leaves. You know, there's a lot of folks that go on with God, but somehow they leak. When you fill them up, it all runs out of them.
Yeah?
Yeah? You know what I mean? They just can't hold God very long.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but sometimes you just can't hold the Holy Ghost long enough.
Yeah.
And don't you get that kind of a reputation that you can't hold God. I believe that, you know, you can kind of patch up your weak points.
Yeah.
I believe in protecting somebody that's got a little flaw. Now, I had a child one time who couldn't sing. I don't know why. But now and then there's some kids that just kind of got a monotone, you know. Everything comes out the same level.
Yeah.
Just all the same. Can't go up or down. And the funny thing, they always like to sing. And try to sing louder than anybody else when they get that way.
Yeah.
And I'd sit there And oh, then I try to sing louder than they would. About the time somebody sent Steely Dover over to my church one time. And she can't sing. If anybody can't sing, she can't sing. She said, "Woo!" She was just going. I don't know what she was trying to do. And I guess the church thought I was losing my mind. I was so ashamed of her voice that I got a songbook and sang three times as loud as I ordinarily do, trying just to drown her out so the people couldn't hear. Well, we had an awful duet there for a while. But you know, I'm embarrassed for folks sometimes. I love to cover up for them if I can. In other words, there's a flaw. And I love to put forth your best foot. I believe you ought to put forth your best foot. If you got a flaw, you know, kind of favor that thing a little bit. I believe you ought to favor it a little bit. And I'm the kind of a fella, you know, that has to look around and look for these flaws. I believe that you're born in this world. I believe in little traits that you have by heredity. In other words, there's some of you folks, now you're not going to like this, but we're just kind of rambling here tonight anyhow. But there's some of you folks, you just can't help yourself. I said you just can't help yourself. You're just 30 watt bulbs and that's as bright as you'll ever burn. That's right. And there's some of you, you know, you can shine 100 watts. Yeah. You know, there's some 30 volts, 60 volts, 100 volts, and of course there's some that's nothing. But in our churches, we have good stock and we have poor stock. Yeah. You hear me? Yeah. We've got some folks that are gun barrel straight.
Amen.
And if they quit God, they'd still have good morals. They wouldn't cheat you, wouldn't rob you, wouldn't mistreat any woman in this town or man.
That's right.
But there's other folks, if they don't stay in the Spirit, they'll be as crooked as a dog's hind leg. Now, it's the truth. In other words, there's things that are born in them that they just got to fight. I said they got to fight. And as long as they'll walk with God, they can keep the old man under.
Amen.
But when they begin to lose their consecration, that old nature begins to come up again.
Yeah.
There's flaws in their character. Now you look here. David might have been a man after God's own heart. But I want to tell you something. You take King Saul and you put him here. And you take King David and you put him there. And I want you to look him over. You show me one woman that Saul ever mistreated. You show me where that fella did anything that was dishonest. You show me any man that had nicer character than him, and I want to see you after church. And you look David over, and mother, that fella was always in some kind of a mess. That is the truth.
Yeah.
I got the whole Old Testament down and I read David's life from beginning to end, and brother, he was a rough character. And yet God said, that man's a man after my own heart. And this man had an outstanding character. But yet he had one little flaw that let him down. I'm talking about a fatal flaw.
Yeah.
You might have everything that it's going to take to get you through. But just one little thing can cause you to lose out with God. We might have the name. We might have the testimony. We might have the message. But bless God, if we've got a flaw, we're liable to lose our home with God and not be the people that He's coming back for. Now hear me, please. This man wouldn't listen to the preacher.
Preacher,
do you hear me?
All right.
He wouldn't listen to the preacher. He wanted to make some sacrifices by his own self.
Yeah, yeah.
And God had to tell him through that preacher, because you want to do it. You might be head and shoulders above the crowd.
Yeah.
You might have an outstanding ability and lots of talent. But God, there's a flaw there. You might be stubborn and self-willed, but when God says nothing, do put him in the background. David was all flaws. He was shot full of holes. But bless God, he had a heart that was beating for God. God, get me out of the gutter. God, get me out of the jail. God, raise me up on high. I'm a sinner, God. Watch me and I'll be white as snow. God, God, cover me with your blood. I'll keep transgressors thy way. My God, I'll be a shining light for you. Oh, I want to be a better man. And this other hypocrite stood right here with one little bitty flaw. And what the hell? They have inspectors in everybody's factory looking around at stuff. And you might say, what's wrong with this? It looks first class to me. But the trained eye of that inspector reject. You pass this one. That's going to fall. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
You both been around factories.
Yeah, I know.
But the man that's got the eye to detect the flaw, he knows what to look for.
Amen.
And when he says it's a reject, you can buy it at half price, maybe. Because it's got a flaw in it.
Yeah.
And God's man is an inspector.
Yeah.
And I know what I'm looking for. I know what it's going to take to get you in that rapture.
Yeah.
I know the ticket it's going to take to put you on the first train.
Lord,
bless God, I don't want to get on any other train.
Oh,
I want to make it, bless God, in that train that's going up.
Yeah.
Hear me, please.
Yeah.
And when God man says, there's a flaw in your life, don't bow your neck. Don't grit your teeth and clench your fist. And saying, I'm not going to listen to that man, because that man knows that under periods of great stress and strain, that flaw in the machinery that you've got here can let you have a spiritual breakdown.
Yeah.
And you'll never make heaven your home. I don't want to buy the car that the axle's going to break when I get on the road. I bought a car. I lived not too far from here one time, and nothing against Plymouths, I've owned five of them. But I bought a new Plymouth, I had 282 miles on it. Driving down the highway, 50 miles an hour, minding my own pretty little business. And all of a sudden, that little old red light come on there. They don't think they've got enough sense to watch the little meters now, so they put a little flashing light at us. I'll tell you something, mister. When that light comes on, it's too late.
Yeah.
When that light finally shows up, it's too late. You had it. They come and told me, boy, you know what you've done? I said, uh-uh. They said, you've melted the whole motor together. The shaft of the oil pump froze, and your car can't go anymore. It's just stuck. Won't even turn on. Said, we'll never free it. Well, I said, okay. So they put me a new Dodge engine in there. But what was it? There was a flaw somehow in that brand new motor.
Yeah.
And I had a breakdown. I mean, out on a cold December, snowy day, a breakdown. And you firemen in light, there are things that are going to let you down.
Yeah.
And if you know you've got a weakness, and you know the things that deserve you, and yet you don't want to take care of those things and bring those things up and perfect them, you're a fool for letting that flaw go in the tank. It's the preacher's business to look at you and try your spirit and watch your attitude. Brother, they give me a whole handful of papers like they give you. You know what I do? I look at him and say, who wants to sing? Well, it's so and so and so. I say, he can't sing. And who else? She can't sing. He's a bathtub singer. Sounds good in the bathtub, but don't sound good in church. You know what I mean? Some people get in a little room, but you gotta think they're another Caruso or something. And somebody else said, oh, out here, and we want this one to sing. I said, no, they won't even pay tax. They won't even pay. They can't sing in this church. And here's another fellow. He wants to do something. Well, God bless him. And here's a few other little people. I said, we don't have to honor all these things. But some of them do. But when I know that some folks aren't living right, and I put a showpiece up here from the church, brother, I want those folks to be without a flaw. I had one of the finest musicians that I've ever seen in a church out past. He sat there, brother, with a drum. I declare, he'd just get his little old sticks out there. I wish I could do it. And I mean, he'd go at it. And, oh, he'd just rock. I remember when I preached for him a long time before I even took the church. That fellow fascinated me. He'd just sit there, and his foot was just a going and a beating this, and he'd kick something over there, bang over here. I can't do anything hardly. I can't even get the right station on the radio. And he's just going at it there and having a big time. And pretty soon he come in there. I looked at the word that drummer. Well, it said he's out in the world. So I'm drunk over here at the corner saloon. Well, I had just a few days in church. Next Sunday he's down there all praying through again. Said, I got it, preacher. All right. Man, I looked around the next day and here he was playing the orchestra again. Man, well, a couple days later, he's gone. So where's the drummer? Well, booze got him again, I guess. Pretty soon, here comes the big Jew. Woke me up 3 a.m. You know, the fellow's on a big jag somewhere and brings him in. Staggers in my front room, gets me out of bed, and I'm fine asleep. I didn't go to bed after 1. I look at him. So what do you want? We want to pray. Wait a morning. No, we want to pray now. Well, I got out of bed. I got down. I was kind of convinced, whipping myself as a preacher, and I didn't need any help. You know, I prayed that fellow through about 5 or 6 times there in a few weeks, and pretty soon I said, I'm going to sleep on. I'm just tired of getting up 3 a.m. praying with all the drunks. That's the truth. Got me at 1 o'clock and I prayed, and finally come in the afternoon and then get in the back of the church and slip downstairs in the prayer room and pray a little bit for the talking tongues. And that's it. That's not it. I mean, he come out there and I said, what's this been going on? He jumped up there and I see him sitting up here again. He's ready to go. He's warming it up. Brother, he's got everything sitting right. Dang it. I got him. Tapped him on the shoulder. Said, come with me, please. Set him over here.
I said, what's happening? What's your difficulty?
Well, he said, I don't know. Well, I said, there's something wrong. I said, you're not playing with me. Matter of fact, you're not playing for maybe 60 days. Oh, he said, I can't do that. He said, that's my victory. I said, your victory is in Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And to testify in this church or play an instrument is nobody's right. It's a privilege if you're living for God.
Yeah.
If you're living for God, you can do something. But if you're not living for God, you're not fit to do anything. Hear me tonight. You haven't got any business doing anything in anybody's church if you're not walking with God.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Well, he sold his drugs. Sold his drugs. But he had a flaw. He had a little flaw. I looked at his buddy and I wanted to talk to him, but I couldn't reach him. And he had a shell around him there, nasty, in and out, and up and down. And finally, I tried to get him, and one day he was working on 3 jobs. If you can't make it on 1 job, you better quit it, mister. You haven't got any business keeping 3 jobs up trying to get rich. He wasn't getting enough, so he went ahead and quit his 3 jobs, bought a truck, borrowed a couple $100 from some fellow over there, went into business. Oh, he said, I know I can make $300, $400, $500 every week. He come back in 60 days, oh, and everybody took out bankruptcy and somebody's looking for him to blow his brains out. He said, preacher, what do I have to do? I said, you finally coming to me? You finally crawling home? I'll tell you what to do. I said, I want you to call me every day that you can't come to church and tell me why you're not coming. I want you here every time they got a service going on. I want you at that altar. I want you in that prayer room. I want you to walk with God. Start right now. You may be in jail tomorrow. I don't know. But if you're going with God, let's start. He said, well, I want your help now. I said, I hope you haven't waited too long. Your trouble, you haven't listened to what God's man said. Amen. And you didn't take any stock in what he said when you finally asked him. But I want to tell you, it's always a flaw when you don't esteem God's man. It's always a flaw when you won't take the Bible just like it is. I had some old Baptist sitting in my front room the other day trying to tell me that you can be saved without the Holy Ghost. He said, I don't need that Holy Ghost. Well, he said, now, what about all these other fellows around? He said, I've been to a lot of these big healing meetings. He said, is Oral Roberts going to be saved? I said, I wish you hadn't asked me that. A couple of Baptists there. I said, you're young. You know, I don't expect a fellow in kindergarten to know what a fellow in a college knows. You want to know too much at once. If I'm driving to South Bend when I leave here, I can't see South Bend. I just see two blocks away by those headlights. It takes a little while to get there. Yeah. But he said, I want to know, is he lost? I said, hang on to your seat. He's going to hell. Oh, no! He said, he's God's man. I said, he's a liar and a hypocrite. Why, he healed me. He said, I saw it. Yeah, but they'll do a lot of things in my name. But God said, I don't know you. I don't know you. I was preaching for a couple of our five oneness churches down there in Phoenix, Arizona. And I mean, brother, some oneness people got a hold of some tracts and they went out there and passed them around a little bit. And they said, we want you maybe to know this oneness message or this Jesus name truth. Somebody told Oral Roberts all about it and said, they got some oneness people out here. He said, those oneness devils. He got up and he said, if there's any oneness people in the prayer line, get out of it. I don't want to pray for you. You hear me? Jesus Christ prayed for anybody.
Amen.
He prayed for anybody. I'd pray for anybody. I'd pray for Al Capone and his gangsters if they come to church. Sure I would. They'd probably get healed.
Sure.
They'd probably get healed, so maybe a whole lot quicker than somebody got. Oh, Lord. Because they don't know anything. And they're not all prejudiced and bitter. But I want to tell you something. When a man's hungry for God, God'll do anything for him. And he'll just get over it. God'll do anything. But you better get the balls out of your life. Oh, it's so. God sent my people over here in the book of Jeremiah have committed two evils. He said, they forgot me and they forsook me. And he said, why? He said, I'm the fountain here. I'm the one that gives all this good, clear water. He said, they've imputed to themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can't hold any water. In other words, he said, they got a nice little old jug there, but it just don't hold water. And we got a lot of folks that can't hang on to anything. You give them a revelation and they can't hold it very long. You give them a blessing and they can't hold it very long. You give them truth and they let it drop down in the gutter. But my God, somebody lived for God before I ever got around here. Somebody climbed the old hills and stood up for Jesus' name before I got in here. Somebody fought all the Trinity devils and the Catholic hypocrites before I ever got around here. And I thank God for that. And I say, God help us today that are living in 1962 here. If we don't give somebody the same kind of revelation and the same kind of power and the same kind of blessing and the same kind of standing and the same kind of holiness that they gave us, God have mercy.
out good. You got a good move there. You look pretty good. But he said, I see a little flaw in you. I see a flaw in you.
Yeah.
He said, I haven't found your work perfect before God. You got a flaw there, Sergeant.
Yeah.
Something about you that's kind of got a flaw. You look all right. You got talent. I believe preachers are getting better all the time. When I come in Pentecost, we didn't know what that thing was.
That's the truth. We thought something like this belonged on a merry-go-round, you know. They go around. We thought maybe, you know, up and down on a horse. Never saw one in a Pentecost church. Never!
Oh?
Yes, sir. Oh, in a church. Oh.
We had old pine, old splintered up fur.
And then they had, singing the songs, maybe it was on the Jericho Road. And now and then you found a little catchy number while they got up and sang by Jordan Stormy Banks, the captain, the Wistful Eye. We sang some old Rock of Ages, and we sang maybe a Take Me to the River, and we sang some more old song, but after a while, we began to lose all that.
Yeah.
Now we got a different beat in church. Brother, we got good piano players.
Yeah.
I mean good piano players. They used to stand up in court in those days. And now they learned how to play. Brother, they line up the squeeze boxes nowadays.
Yeah.
We got a guitar brigade going at it nowadays.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we have. And I mean we got help. Brother, we have not only got the preacher, we got about 10 that want to preach.
Yeah.
And we're all lined up ready to go. But I say we must have better revelation.
Oh,
we must have better seats. We must have better feelings. But my God, if we got some flaws, where are we going to be?
Yeah.
If you are here. Preach on, Roadhouse, dear.
Yes, sir.
I take this out about every 30 days. I have to take out my fellowship card. Praise the Lord.
It costs $230 a year if we keep that.
Amen. I've been in about three of these things, and every one of them has flaws. Do you hear what I mean?
Amen.
And if Brother Morgan was here, he'd have nodded his head.
Yes,
if Paul was sitting here, and he was ahead of it, he'd have nodded his head.
All right.
Listen to me, please. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. You know I wouldn't dare do a thing like that. But I want to tell you something. Any time man's got his finger on anything, there's going to be a flaw.
Right.
The officials of my organization said in 1950, I remember what they said. They said we give this organization 10 more years. 10 more years to keep what they got. Why? Because it's a known fact and a matter of record. 50 years or 60 years, in some cases only 40, a generation, at the most a generation and a half, has been able to retain God's power. God has moved upon various institutions and assemblies and denominations. Now upon denominations, God has moved on individuals, and they later became denominations, don't you see? And then, after a while, they forgot their consecration, and they forgot their walk with God, and they forgot their holiness, and they forgot their revelation, and they forgot their power. And after a while, they said, we've gone as far as we want to go. We got all that we want to have. I got a big job in this movement now. Oh, I got a big church. And oh, yes, sir, this is as far as I want to go.
Yeah.
And maybe he knows he better preach a little bit of truth. And all of a sudden, maybe some of the people say, oh, no, you don't. Had one of my friends get up and try to preach on mixed babies, and they threw him out of the church.
Wow.
Threw him out of the church. Can you imagine a Pentecostal church don't want some pastor to preach against mixed babies? You know what I had? You know what I had an elder tell me one time in the church? He said, it's all right if an evangelist can come to the church and preach on holiness. He said, but the pastor knows everybody. He can't do it. I said, hold your seat, mister. I was the pastor. Praise God. I don't know if I messed you, but I got blood in my eye.
stand up and preach.
Yeah.
I don't want to be abusive. I don't want to hurt anybody. What I'm trying to say, I see a flaw in holiness today.
Yeah.
It's not the kind of holiness they used to have. They used to have the old-fashioned kind. They used to have the real old-fashioned kind. But they want a sham holiness. They want a false holiness. They want a hypocritical holiness. But if holiness is not God's holiness, it's no holiness at all.
You don't have to worry. All I will say is this. No need to be getting up and browbeating you folks and lambasting you people if you got a TV. You're not where you belong in God. You might as well face it. But I will say this. My heart is burdened when I get down to pray. Brother, when I see that God's people, something's wrong with their old hearts and it got black in here because they even want the world. I had a woman and her two children come in the office. You know, I forgot the message. Is it all right? I had a dear woman and her two children come in the office and sit down there and say, is it all right if we get permanence? I said, are you serious? Well, I said, sure. We want to know, can we get permanence? I said, what's the matter? I said, I'm hurt. I mean, I have preached myself hoarse around here. And now you want to know if you can go down to that old beauty shop and get a permanent wave. God have mercy on some folks today when they don't even care about the standard of holiness. Well, they said, after all, we see folks around the country. I said, you forget folks around the country.
Yeah.
This is your church home.
Yes, sir.
If your pastor in this church says, break your hair, you break your hair. If the pastor in this church, and that's where you go, he said, everybody puts a rat in it, put a rat in it. Huh?
Yeah.
In California, they'll tell you, let it hang. Or brain doesn't do anything. Over here, they say, you got to do it this way. California, go to our one of the churches, you can wear sandals to church. You get around some places here in the Midwest, and you got the toes and heels out, you're headed for hell, you know. And some places here, I notice they wear the sleeves way up here. Of course, when I happen to be a Westerner, we always preach long sleeves. So I walked in the church I got, said everybody can have long sleeves. I mean, that's all. And that's just the way we see it, and I'll try to bear with it until your dresses, you know, give out, or you sold some burlap on them or something. A little white lady, you can buy another dress, it's true. But the next time you buy some, I want to keep this in mind. You get a big hem in it. Get a big hem in it,
amen.
And get long sleeves on it. You up here in the choir, I want you to look nice.
Amen.
You men, don't you come in any more t-shirts. You men, that's true. Don't you come in any old, sometimes you got a nylon shirt, and you know, you see their old ugly hairy chest, look like half bear, some of them. Anyhow, and then hanging out of the britches, and they come out there and worship God, but just bad. It really is. And then I said, God, what happened to us? Well, there was a time when folks wanted to come out to church. Brother, all they thought of was just pleasing God.
Yeah.
Well, they said, what do you want me to do? Well, they said, want you to pay tithes. Oh, God, I'll pay my tithes. What else do you want me to do? We want you to pray. Call an hour prayer meeting. Bless God, that if you couldn't stop them in an hour. I said you couldn't stop them in an hour. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Call an all-night prayer meeting, and brother, you talk about beating the pearly gates and rattling the doors of heaven, they really did. You call an all-night prayer meeting now, you sure get lonely and scary all alone in the church by yourself. There won't be nobody with you. I call an all-night prayer meeting in the church. Brother, they coming for 20 minutes. Brother, you thought we was going to walk up the golden stairs and praise God. Get right in heaven and say, we've come to take over. Amen. This is the Marines from Christ Temple invading this territory. Pretty soon, I guess they picked the hats and coats up after a half hour and was gone. And I looked around the church and just maybe a little old faithful few there, a dozen at the most. And after a while, I only had six. And by the time 2 hours was gone, well, there was about three. And by the time 3 hours was gone, it was me and another guy. And
I think we, the only reason we stayed was trying to outlast one another, both of them stayed to leave one. And we prayed on a little bit. We prayed on a little bit, and finally he said, well, I'm at it. And he went, and he didn't hardly get in his car started until I turned on the light, and I went out the other door. We lost the whole desire. I said, there's something wrong. And I got down, and I was whipping myself, saying, God, what's the matter with this? You know, folks used to have something like a burden.
Yeah.
Folks used to have something like the old-fashioned desire, but I see flaws in our movements today. I look at some folks, and I say, well, now, let's all get a mind on God, get in the Spirit. Praise God. Let's worship God. The song leader gets up and they sing a song, hallelujah. But we have a time when we get over yonder and oh, they start singing it. Yeah, and all of a sudden, here comes old Sister Jones out there. She's going, and old Sister Brown over there. She's a hypocrite, don't she? And then, old Brother Black, he'll get out there. He's got a running spell, you know, and he'll go out a little bit. And old Red back in the back, I'm just making these up now, you know, I wouldn't dare say any name. He's looking up there and he looks over. Well, he says, I work on a job with that guy. Nothing to him. And so, brother, they just look at one another and they won't. Some will walk down one aisle, some will walk down another aisle. I'm telling you, folks, there's walls in Pentecost. My God wants us to be in one mind. He wants us to be in one accord. I say he wants us to be that way. And my God's going to have a people. I thank God that we still have some good folks. They're not all in the UPC either. They're not all here. He's got them everywhere that's baptized in his name and filled with the power. But my God's calling the people, come out, come out, come out from the world and be ye separate and touch not the unclean. But I'm telling you, come out from that spirit.
Yes,
I'm telling you, come out from the world.
Yes,
if I've got somebody next to me, claims to be my brother, and claims to be God's man that doesn't believe the message, then I've got to draw back from him.
Yeah.
There's people that don't believe you need to talk in tongues anymore.
Right.
There's folks that don't believe you need to live holy anymore.
Right.
I said there's people that don't believe anything. They don't have any convictions on marriage. They haven't got any convictions on divorce. So then let your saved girl marry a sinner boy.
Right.
You hear what I say?
Yeah.
My God, have mercy on the flaws and penny. And I say you better get down to business and check up on those lest you perish.
Yeah.
Agrippa had a flaw. He had the flaw of procrastination. It was time to make a move for God. He had conviction. He had the knowledge of the book. He had everything he needed, but his flaw was put in law. And put in law. And he lost out with God.
Amen.
You hear what I say?
That's true.
Jesus Christ was teaching. And as he stood there, all of a sudden, the Bible said there came unto him one running. And he ran up and he knelt down before Jesus. He said, good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus stood him up. He looked him over. He said, well, let's start with the law. He said, don't you murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't you lie. Don't you steal. Honor your mother and father.
Yeah.
Love God. He said, Jesus, I've done all that all my life. He said, I love God. I keep the commandments. All of those things I kept ever since I've been a little boy. Hear me. He wasn't talking to Ballesterra. He wasn't trying to deceive Brother Hughes. He was talking to God Almighty.
Yeah, yeah.
And God looked at him and knew he was telling the truth.
Yeah,
he looked at him and knew he was telling the truth.
Amen.
The Bible said he loved him. Jesus loves folks that live good.
Amen. Amen.
They may never be saved, but he loves folks that live good. He hates some of these old rascals. There's devils in this world. I said there's devils in this world.
Yeah.
You know what's the matter with them? It was in Nebuchadnezzar's vision. His image. Or rather his thing that happened to him, the stump, you know, of a tree that was cut down and had to grow up again. He fell down on his knees, and for 7 years he walked around like an animal, eating grass. Feathers grew on him. His fingernails became big bird claws. A beast heart was put in there. He had an animal heart. And we're living in such a sinful time today.
That's right.
Brother, that sinners, some of them, have beastly natures.
Yeah.
Animal hearts.
Yeah.
They don't act like human beings.
Right.
They don't act like sensible people. They don't. Look at the moving picture shows. Every one of them is some awful thing, some weird monster, some rape, some murder, some awful thing. What is it? These are the last days.
Yeah.
And because iniquity is abounding, the love of many is waxing cold. Oh, and Jesus looked at that young man and said, I've done it all. And Jesus says, all right. Then I want you to give me your pocketbook. He had everything in his favor. Rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. Jesus said, you're going to be my slave. Take up your cross and follow me.
Yeah.
You're going to follow me now. Oh, no, he didn't want that. Oh, yeah. You know, when you got that little cross on your shoulder, you're just not the same. You just can't act like you used to act. You can't go to some of the places you want to go. Bless God, you might go over here and sit down in Charlie's house, but you don't feel at home in Charlie's house anymore. You got that cross on.
Yeah.
Amen. You say, I don't see that, you know. But bless God, as long as you got the cross of Jesus Christ on, somehow that's not the same. You just don't enjoy yourself in Dad's house anymore. Old Bill, he was my friend when we went to school, but you can go see old Bill, and somehow, whoa, it got that cross on, you just can't sit out right here. You'll find when you start walking with God, things aren't going to be the same anymore. And this man didn't want to take that cross up. He just didn't want to take that cross up. I don't know what's harder to give up, for him to give up his pocketbook or to take up that cross and follow the Lord. And that was his flaw. He had a perfect character.
Yes, he did.
But he was rich, young, and a ruler. But a flaw caused him to lose out.
Untrue.
God's looking down for a church without a spot, without a wrinkle, or any such thing. He's looking for a people that have cleansed themselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. A fatal flaw. Just one little old flaw. You might walk with Paul. My God, I'd give anything to walk with him.
And I could see him on a fire rack one night, sitting there in the fire and promising young man. He must have had talent for Paul to choose him to come with him. Brother, I don't choose folks to work with me unless I see a promise in him. And Demas sat right there. He heard this wise man teach. Brother, he had a little notebook, he wrote down some thoughts.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, he did.
Yeah.
He put it right down there. And he saw Paul stand up and dare a whole crowd. He listened to God's unction on that man as that fellow preached, and maybe got stoned half to death for doing it.
He walked with him. He went hungry with him. He feasted with him. But one day, he walked by an old worldly place, and he saw something.
He just let it stay in his heart. He walked on.
And everywhere he went, brother, he had that little thing coming back to his mind. You hear what I'm telling you?
Yeah.
If you don't kill those things that come to your heart and your mind, they're going to get you someday.
Yeah.
He'd sit there and he didn't read the Bible for Paul. You know, a little old parchment rolling out there. He'd read a little bit from Isaiah. Paul wanted to preach maybe from Isaiah. No, he said, read it, boy. And he'd read it for him. Oh, yes, he would. Oh, while Paul was preaching, suddenly his mind go back to a little old thing that he wanted over there. Oh, yeah. Boy, oh, somebody said you better kill it, boy. It's growing, it's growing. You better stomp it, you better kill it, kill it, kill it, kill it. You let things grow in your heart. You let jobs begin to grow. The love for money, the love for a woman, the love for a man, the love for pleasure, the love for a home. You let things get in there. They'll finally destroy you. And that flaw is going to let you down.
Yes.
David was so constructed that one of his flaws in his character, he couldn't take the thing that almost destroyed him. But when he walked with God, God put a little hedge about him and covered him up. And wouldn't let the devil touch you because God knew his weaknesses. But when you get out of step with God and out of touch with God, he removes the hedge and you're going to fall. I said, you're going to fall. Somebody said, I never thought he'd steal. Yeah. When God takes the hedge down, you can do anything. Somebody said, I never thought she'd quit the church. Yes. When they quit their consecration and walk with God, that flaw is going to come a big break and let them down. California, we have earthquakes. I'm through. And they have what is known as a fault. The St. Andreas Fault runs clear down the Pacific coast, most of California, across those mountains. And every so often, the pressure builds up inside of the earth, causing that fault or that crack to just rub together. It sometimes opens up and comes back together. And that is an earth fault. They have them all around the earth. It's a flaw. It's a flaw. And there finally comes a time after pressure and buildup where that thing puts on a terrific display of power. Don't tell me it don't scare you. Brother, I've been in earthquakes when the whole side of an apartment building fell down on the ground in front of you. I was in one not too long ago. Coming home from camping, I'm laying there in bed and had an old five-bedroom home, two stories. It was creaking. It was rocking. I had somebody living in my trailer house out there. And I had another young couple from Arkansas we stopped to see the other time. They was living in my one of my little apartments where I made while I was in evangelistic work, keep my wife company. And I was home for that weekend. That old house was rocking. I said, Mom, get up. See if the trailer's still standing. She said, get up. She said, why didn't you? I'm half scared to death. When God begins to put on his power, the strength all leaves. Oh, you say, I wouldn't be afraid of it. Somebody blows the horn. Oh, God. Running for your life. I'm not feeling a bomb shot to shelter. I may have sense enough to go downstairs, though. You see what I mean? Flaws are there in your life.
Yeah.
You know if you've got a temper. You know if you're greedy or stingy. Sometimes the old devil tells me, you better not give. I had some of my preacher friends say, don't you give that offer, because you need stuff at home. I listen to him, well, maybe he's right. Some of us did that. Now, these old heads, they know a lot.